Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché. I am back, and this is episode 214 for Friday, November 1st of 2024. And on tonight's podcast, we've got TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing great now that I don't have to host.
Yeah, I was going to introduce you as the new host of the Killer Frogs podcast. You did a great job. Thanks.
I'll start hosting when Shannon becomes a special guest again.
That might be next week. We'll see how that goes. Also on the podcast, we got everybody's favorite punter from down under, Jordy Sandy. How you doing, Jordy?
I'm doing good, man. Ready to get this show rolling.
Did you have a good week?
It's been good. Yeah. It's always good when the Frogs win. Can't say the same about the Cowboys.
Yeah, boy, that Cowboy.
We're not going to talk about
brutal.
That today.
Yeah, thank goodness this is not a Cowboy podcast.
Yeah, I just don't even expect much from him anymore, to be honest.
Yeah,
and you kind of get disappointed.
I went down Sunday night because I was chaperoning. My son made state cross country, and they went down Sunday night because they had an early morning meet. And I was watching it downstairs in the hotel lobby. And started off, we had about 20 guys down there watching the game. After about the second quarter, halfway through the second quarter, it was only like two of us down there. Everyone else just decided to leave. And the hotel didn't have any beer, so, you know. It didn't make for a good night.
That's why we have this here.
Yes, that's true. That's why we have this podcast here at the Hyatt Place by TCU. Shameless plug. So let's go ahead and get started. We've got Ryan here with TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
So what sort of news do you have in the world of Horned Frogs? And I hear soccer is at the top of the list.
Yeah. Thanks for that pass off. Yes. In fact, I had invited them to come be our special guest tonight and not realizing that they were already traveling.
They're kind of in Kansas City.
They are. Right? They left today to go to Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament. So they just wrapped up their season as the Big 12 champions and now onto the tournament and then postseason.
Who do they play?
Cincinnati?
No. Nope.
Colorado.
Oh, yeah. We just talked about that because Colorado
starts with a C.
Beat Utah, the red team.
That's right.
Yeah, Colorado beat the red team.
You know, with all
pretty much like everybody else in the Big 12 this year.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of hard to keep up these days with so many teams bouncing around. So usually Barry does this, but he is handing out candy to all the little trick-or-treaters. It's Halloween night.
I did also almost dress up for this, but then I realized no one can see us. So
it's true.
It
requires
kind of
a lot of energy.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I do love Halloween, though.
I do, too. It's one of my favorite holidays. So right now, I mean, if you're keeping up with this, it is crazy. All the teams that were pretty much picked to be the leaders in the conference are not. Like Utah's not.
Right.
Who else? Arizona's at the
Kansas
bottom.
Kansas was preseason top 25.
Oh, my gosh. And they're not.
Boy, they have fallen quickly.
So I will, real quick, who do y'all think is 16? Who's last right now of our power rankings?
Last of the power. Wait, mm-hmm. So
power rankings.
Where they started at the beginning of the season?
It's kind of every week.
You're just talking about your weekly power rankings.
Yes, our weekly power rankings.
Either Kansas or Arizona.
All right, it's Oklahoma State.
Oh, okay.
Isn't
that that's
sad?
Good. Yeah, that's right.
Yikes.
I know.
Never mind. Oh, by the way, did you see their throwback uniforms that they're coming out with?
No.
Oh, okay. So first of all, it's Oklahoma A&M. Is their original name.
Yeah,
so on there, they have a black helmet with an orange O and an A inside of the O. And it looks atrocious.
That's
and
like,
then,
isn't that like the sign for witchery or something?
Well, and then what makes it even worse is they've got long sleeve and like socks. Pants that have like orange stripes that look like the Wicked Witch of the East.
They're horrible.
They're absolutely horrible. Horrible uniforms.
Well, it's Halloween, so they.
Well, yeah, but it's not a. They're not playing tonight. I mean, it's absolutely
I wonder
horrible.
If the players like them.
I don't know. I mean, there were so many people on there that
they look like bumblebees. I'm looking at a picture right now. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, that. All right. It doesn't look like sorcery or witchery on the helmet.
I don't
but
know.
It's,
I mean, it's
the
close.
Sleeves and the socks
the
that do
sleeve.
It for me. Everything else is all right. I can get. You can get away with it.
Well, it's on that same note. What did y'all think? And I'd like to know what the A&M fans thought about their all-black uniforms, because they're very traditional, and I usually appreciate that about certain schools.
A lot of people who
fans always hate it. Players always love it.
Exactly.
The players love it.
Yeah, it was not like, what was it, Illinois? that had the painted helmets, and they kind of went the throwback.
Those were sick.
Those were cool. Nice. Those were a good throwback. Yeah. I like those.
The guy hand-painted all of those.
That was amazing.
Yeah, like 100 helmets. Yeah. That was insane.
That was really cool.
Yeah, but those Oklahoma A&M throwback jerseys are the worst. And if you don't know what we're talking about, just go on Twitter or X or whatever Elon Musk is calling it this week and check it out, because it is terrible.
All right, so back to the power rankings, which we have like 38 people who vote on this each week with Killer Frogs.
Right.
And so this week we have, hold on, all these dumb ads that everybody always gripes about are now popping up on my phone, and
that's
I can't scroll. So let me try this again.
Always pay for ad-free.
But we need those ads because we need to make money. All right. So scrolling back down.
Surprising that Oklahoma State is probably at the bottom.
I forget that they're struggling that bad. Well, and because they did, they're kind of like us a couple years ago, where not a couple years ago, because we were at the top a couple years ago, but where you just win or lose by like one point or one score. I mean, right. Like they had a really good game.
It was
against
like a 4-8
BYU,
season.
Right? And then,
right.
Yeah. So, all right. So poor Oklahoma at the bottom, then Utah, which is equally crazy. Then
the
Houston.
One who will run the Big 12, by the way, just one point.
Yeah, exactly. Then Houston, which didn't they just? They were like they were. Y'all get credit. They beat Utah. So now they went up two spots. They were 16 last week. They were dead last. And then we move on to Kansas, Arizona, which should have been at the top, UCF, Baylor. But we'll scroll up to the top, and you get number one is, who would your number one be if you were on these power rankings?
BYU.
Iowa State.
Okay, I said BYU too, but it is Iowa State. BYU's second.
Kansas State's
third. Yep. Colorado's fourth. And TCU is fifth.
Yeah.
Y'all, fifth.
I think we need a flop. 5-4. I think the only reason why Colorado's there is because they're bowl eligible. But
they do have a tougher a tougher strength of schedule than we do.
They beat Nebraska. Nebraska's really good. In my opinion, they were really good. So
I haven't looked to see who else they're playing to see how they finish out. But
No idea.
But we could. And we'll talk about this later. But we could finish out pretty strong.
I like five. I'll take five.
I do too.
Yeah.
For how we played this season, I'll take five.
Yeah, I definitely would take five. Especially since we were like 12 left. That's crazy.
So that is where we are right now with the power rankings, and I'm sure it will be very jumbled by the end of
Colorado's remaining schedule. By this week, Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. I see them winning out.
Kansas.
I see them winning out.
Ooh, what a tough schedule for them.
If they finish out, I bet it's. Let's predict it right now.
So what? They're 6-3 right now.
I bet they'll be at the champion, the Big 12 championship.
Golly, can you imagine how insufferable Deion Sanders is going to be if he goes 10-2 with that team?
I know. Yeah, he did shave his beard though, and I'm glad because he looked like Santa Claus.
Did he?
It was all gray.
I didn't know he shaved.
Now he shaved it all off, and he looks like he's like 30. When he had it on, he looked like he was Santa Claus. Like Kris Kringle's old Santa Claus.
Speaking of Halloween costumes. So, all right. Was there any other news coming out outside of... I don't think there was anything else going on as far as soccer.
Baseball started their...
That is true. They had the purple-white game. Yeah. They have a couple more. And they just released their schedule today, so I'm super excited about that. And a basketball's starting up.
Basketball had their Schollmeyer Live.
Yep. And then Monday, I think... Monday night, they're going... This Friday, and then Monday, I think they're... Yeah. So that'll be... That's fun.
Yeah. Against... Arkansas.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Arkansas at Dickey's.
That's going to be a good one. That Dickey's Arena is getting a workout. I love it.
Yeah, it's a perfect place to go see any event because it's just big enough.
Like gymnastics.
But what'd you say?
Like gymnastics.
Yes. As a matter
of fact. Nathan knows you so well.
That will be here in January.
Well, thank you, Ryan. We appreciate
it.
Thank you very much. Well, let's go ahead and get into this. TCU comes back home, plays against Texas Tech, and comes back 17 points down to win by one, the Gary Patterson special, 35-34 against the Red Raiders. And this was an interesting game, kind of a tale of not necessarily two quarters, but or not two halves, I should say, really kind of like two quarters, right? The first and the fourth quarter is what kind of sealed it for TCU. So let's get into this. Jordy, let's start with you. how did you feel about this game? Do you feel that this team is improving, or did you feel that we just got fortunate to squeak by Texas Tech?
I mean, I felt like it was a standard TCU heart stopper game that just we just find a way to get ourselves in bad situations that we've managed to do all year. And this time we came out on the right side, which is obviously a positive. But I think that first half, we kind of made their defense look pretty solid, and they really haven't been very solid all year. So it was nice to see us respond in the way we did and, you know, find a way to win and make plays down the stretch. But, yeah, there's still plenty of areas for improvement. But, yeah, a lot of positives to take away from the game as well.
Nathan, how'd you feel about the play calling?
It was good in the first few drives, I'll say that. I think it got stale, and so they adjusted to it.
Right.
You know, with the whole Savion, you know, wild frog. I think they adjusted, which is what we usually hope for, is that we can adjust and make play calls, but they did that in the second quarter.
Yes.
Started keying on that, and then to start the third quarter, you know, just they kind of went their way and had their way with our defense. But I think that was because our offense couldn't stay on the field.
Also, their starting quarterback got hurt at halftime.
Yes.
And you bring in a true freshman quarterback
that no one's seen any film on.
Yeah, nobody's really seen a whole lot on. And I know Texas Tech fans were really high on him going into this season, and they want him to be the guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously when you change quarterbacks like that, they're changing their game plan, and he was fairly mobile. Suddenly now he brings a completely different dimension to the Tech offense. So I can imagine it would have taken – I would have hoped we would have been able to adjust quicker than we did, but that certainly played a role.
You see that a lot in games, though. You see a lot of times, like, someone comes in like that, and they kind of just go off. Like, and whether it's quarterback, running back, you know, receiver, somebody.
Why does this TCU defense always make everybody who comes in off the bench look like a Heisman?
Because everybody loves to play well against us.
Yeah,
they really do. And TCU just, again, has that flair for the dramatic, like Jordy said. Like, some of – people's favorite TCU games, not my favorite, or have been, you know, the Oregon game, you know, down 31 points at halftime, haven't scored. We were in risk of getting shut out and ending Mark Cohen's streak of of scoreless games,
Texas Tech game. He has not tweeted that out.
He did last time.
Did he?
He did last time.
I was gonna say I haven't seen that the last couple games.
Yeah, but then there's the Texas Tech game that you know, Aaron Green caught the tip pass on. Everybody loves that play. I hate that play. It shouldn't have happened. I talked about this last week, but this is just what TCU does. They make
the bazooka.
The bazooka. They just they stop your heart for half a second, and all of a sudden you're happy. Like,
we just want to feel something, man.
Yeah, you know what? We just got to make sure the pulse is still there. I had checked out of this game. I was just like, I kind of accepted it and got to the point where I was numb, and I was like, all right, whatever, we lost. We're gonna. And then it kind of started when they went on their 28-0 run. I was like, all right, cool. You know, we were in it for a little bit. It's over. I'm gonna move on and just get ready for the disappointment of the Cowboys game. But then we win, and I was like, I kind of didn't really know what to do. We just all of a sudden were winning, and it was that scare of, like, I thought they were going to, like, do something to get the ball down the field, but they didn't, and all of a sudden we won.
Well, it was funny, right? We get the ball back, still down six, and all four of us, so Nathan, myself, and two of our writers from SI are sitting right next to each other in the press box. And we're all kind of, like, going back and forth, like, okay, how can we screw this up, right? It's going to be a pick, right? Or we're going to go a three and out, or whatever.
Yeah, I said pick.
And then what did I say? Oh, we're going to score too quickly and leave too much time. And then what ends up
first
happening?
Play.
81-yard touchdown pass to McAllister down the sideline. It's like,
which is beautiful.
It was an absolute – I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. I mean, I think he, like, leads the nation right now in
yards per reception.
Yeah, yards per reception. Like 28 or something. It's absolutely insane. And – I love that play, absolutely love the play, but then it left like 3 minutes left on the clock. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the worst possible.
And then
situation.
They get into field goal range, and you're like, okay, you know, they're going to chip it. It's going to be a chip shot field goal. They're going to win with time expiring.
And then I don't know how it happened, but Kendall Briles called their third down play. I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
Yeah, you know, you give. We, you know, like, we kind of talked. We're already talking about how we kind of tend to make things difficult. They really made things difficult on themselves. No, and their quarterback was playing really, really well. I'll give him that. You don't put the ball on a QB keeper right there. You give it to the running back that's about to go play in the NFL.
Okay, running back.
And just let him take you down, take the time down, and go. But they did not do that. They called.
No. You have arguably probably one of the best field goal kickers in the league, probably one of the top field goal kickers in the nation, and you give it to your quarterback on a draw.
That's one of those plays of, like, that's why you don't do that.
Right.
And you think people learn from it, but they don't.
No.
Or, like, enough time passes where, when we were talking about this with the Baylor, and we'll probably get into it later, but enough time passes where you kind of forget, and then another mistake has to happen to where you don't. Like, with Max, not giving Max the QB sneaker and against K-State.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like,
was...
And then we learned our lesson in the next two games. We did it twice, and we scored on both of them.
Yep.
Fortunately, it was our only score against Georgia, but, yeah.
At least we
Sorry, can. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Yeah. Again,
Mark, had to scare y'all once for Halloween.
Mark Cohen was happy that we scored that game, so it's all good. Well, it was an interesting game, and again, though, a win is a win, right? So we're now one win away from being bowl eligible, and I know just being bowl eligible is probably not going to be enough to kind of satiate the TCU fans out there, because we want to see this team do even better. And you know, we talked about the beginning of the year. A lot of us were saying the ceiling for this team was probably going to be 8 wins. I mentioned 9 wins is probably on the outside chance. I didn't think we were going to lose games like Houston. We had a chance to at the last second to kick a game-winning field goal against UCF. Obviously, the SMU game was probably the worst loss we've had so far this season. It's going to be interesting going into this last couple of games of the season to see exactly what this team can do, because this team has a Jekyll and Hyde kind of personality, and we've seen that in a lot of TCU teams in the past, but it tends to kind of rear its ugly head at the worst possible times with this team. You got, you know, the fumble that happened to us on, you know, inside of the 5-yard line that led to 3 great stops by the defense and then a fake field goal that ends up going in for the score, or just the weirdest things that happened to this team at different times.
To be fair, there were a lot of fake field goals last week.
Yeah, there
BYU
were.
Had one. We had Texas Tech had one. Somebody else had one, and I'm pretty sure there was like a fake punt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there were a lot of fakes last week, so it does happen.
Well, but
and
we,
he ended up missing a field goal later.
We
so
set that up because we've been constantly going after kicks all year long, and it has worked for us in a lot of areas. And I love the aggressiveness, but you've got to have somebody, you know, ready to kind of get back in the coverage just in case when you're down that close to the goal line.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Jordy. I hadn't seen that type of fake field goal where he lays it over the top.
Yeah,
you know, alley oops it.
We had the double snap one.
Yeah,
last week,
BYU. Right? Yeah, he went under, snapped it again. Yeah. So it's those are kind of they're hard. Like you want to block a kick, but if you don't have someone in position, yeah, it could go very badly.
I think, like you said, Sean, like, people are, if you're going to, you know, try to block the kick every time, teams are going to start putting that in, and if they get an opportunity, they're going to run it. I will say, though, if teams are going to run fake field goals and fake punts, like, that's usually a good sign that, you know, that they think your team's pretty good, because they need something, you know, especially when they have the ball, you know, inside the 5. Do you take the 3 points or do you try something because you need a score? So I guess that's not a bad sign, but... yeah, you obviously don't want to be scored on
it was the right call. Absolutely, it was the right call. I'm just a little upset that we haven't thought this one through a little bit more about how aggressive we've been. It's like, you know, obviously the opposing team's watching film as well, and you've got to know that they're going to be ready for something like that, especially Texas Tech. I mean, they're going to pull out all the stops on the road against TCU.
Like I said, everybody loves to beat us. It just happens.
It's just, yeah, we're everybody's Super Bowl, right? That's fine. We get everybody's best shot. I love it. So, speaking of everybody's best shot, this week, Baylor. 7 o'clock game in the Toilet Bowl on the Brazos. This will be an interesting one because everyone's celebrating a decade of whatever, except for some reason we can't celebrate 10 years of Peach Bowl, right? Or Blue Bonnet Bowl.
We're not going to get into that.
I know. We're not going to go down that road. But... let's talk a little bit about this Baylor game, because this is going to be an interesting one. Baylor is going to pull out all the stops to celebrate their 61-58 win against TCU. Again, sorry, Nathan, for bringing that up. But
I'm going to wear my ring.
I mean, you should definitely wear it on Saturday.
They shouldn't have lost to West Virginia.
I know. Well, sorry. That's just the way it is.
Anyways.
That's the way football go. Yeah. So let's talk about this game. This is going to be an interesting one because Baylor's been playing a lot better the last couple of weeks. And again, talking about, you know, which team is going to show up any given week for TCU, Baylor's actually been able to put together some solid four quarters in the last couple of weeks, and we have yet to see a solid four quarters from this TCU team at all. So, Jordy, what do you think? How do you think this team coming back 2 years removed from the bazooka, how do you think this team's going to play at night in Waco?
Well, I think, first of all, like you mentioned, Baylor's had a bit of resurgence. It's probably, honestly, their seasons have been a little bit similar to ours, you know, maybe a disappointing start, maybe not what they expected, and then, you know, come back and string a couple of wins together and, you know, look like a decent football team. But I just want to see us play, like, a clean game of football, like, no turnovers. Like, if we play a clean game, I think we'll beat everybody on our schedule. It's, you know, we're beating teams and we're making so many mistakes. It's just, yeah, I just want to say a clean game because I think, you know, I think our wide receiving corps is, if not the best in the nation, it's got to be in the top three. Josh is a hell of a quarterback. I think the defense has started to figure some things out and get some stops when we needed to down the stretch. And, yeah, I think just a complete game and boys will take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about our wide receivers. It's just too bad that our offensive line and our running backs, for whatever reason, just can't quite get on that same page.
Savion.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk about that. How many times do you think we're going to see the wild
frog? Cam almost broke one, too.
Cam had a really good run, yes. But, I mean, he's not handling the ball 20 times a game at this point. So, but how many times do you think we're going to see that wild frog with Savion?
I don't think you'll see it as much this week because Baylor's obviously going to prepare for it. But I'd like to see Savion in the backfield and then them maybe throw the ball, do some different stuff that's going to catch them off guard because, you know, that's – honestly, that's one thing I've really, really liked in the last couple of weeks. We've started to get the ball into the, you know, our playmakers' hands. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Nathan?
Well, Savion draws eyes. That's why he's useful anywhere. And now Besh is starting to do the same thing. Where it's like he can get double covered, but that opens up other receivers, McAllister,
JP.
Mm-hmm. And so I think everything's a chess game in football. It's you're hoping they key up on certain people because they're going to watch film. We're going to watch film, highlight their players that are playing really well right now and try to eliminate them from the game. But you try to anticipate that and you go against it, whatever it may be. So, like I said, it's a chess match. With the fake field goal, you just kind of really never know what to expect.
Well, that's true. So, I agree. I think Savion, and to your point, Jordy, this is one of the things we were talking about, Nathan, up in the press box on Saturday. If you're going to keep running the wild frog, at least keep the defense honest by trying to pass with Savion, right? I mean, played quarterback in high school. The guy can throw the ball. You've got to at least attempt that once or twice in the game if you're going to line up in the wild frog that many times, right? You can't just always run with him and do a draw. He's a great player, and he made a lot of things happen that shouldn't have happened on Saturday with his legs and some of the moves that he made, but you got to keep the defense honest. You've got to be able to throw that ball. And, you know, a couple of the guys started really, you know, Rogers started coming into the game a lot more and Dabney. We started seeing Dabney a lot more. How important do you think it is to get Dabney going early in this game against his old team?
Very important. One-on-one, it always sucks. Having a player that used to play for you go off against you. It's the same thing with like Hudson when we played SMU. It sucks. It kind of demoralizes you a little bit. And so, he's a big body receiver. So you want him or a tight end. You want him to be able to be a threat, especially, goal line, short yardage stuff. Because that takes another defender out of the equation whenever you want to run the football. So I think it'll be super important for him and just really everybody to kind of be in sync and just, you know, hopefully have a rhythm going into the game, not slow starting like I feel like we have, but and then just continuing that. However, I don't know. I know it's supposed to storm here. I don't know if it's supposed to storm in Baylor.
Yeah, it's supposed to be some rain.
It's probably rain. Yeah. So that is another factor you got to think about when it comes to the passing offense because that's what we rely on. So you got to hope that that doesn't take away from it.
Right. Well, you mentioned the slow start. I thought it was interesting on Saturday, TCU wins the toss against Texas Tech and elects to actually receive the ball, right? I mean, we typically defer, and I think that was a good sign that this team knows that they need to get up, early, and they need to kind of push the advantage as quickly as they can. They can't be playing from behind. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be important playing against Baylor on Saturday night. You know, speaking of things that are important, obviously Baylor thinks certain events are important to the historical makeup of their school, and one of which happens to be the big victory, I think the only victory over the last 9 years, right?
Well, they had the Max was in victory.
Oh, that's right, yes. But, I mean, you know.
Shattered my phone that
61,
day.
61-58. How far past the line do you think Baylor's going to take this on Saturday?
I think they'll be on the lines. I think that they'll paint the field 61-58
think
somehow.
So? I think it's going
to
be
that
on
or it'll
the
be. Well, they. Well, it's funny because they tried to. I don't think it's going to be like last week. I think the fans will be there. It is a night game, and then they're celebrating that. So I think.
Well, okay. Now you say that, but we heard today that they're now selling tickets for $20 a piece.
Which means that they will get bought up and people will go.
Well, I'm hoping they get bought up by a bunch of purple.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do in Waco.
No.
Yeah. So everyone's showing up.
They put a one-story Topgolf in there. All right.
Okay.
anyways,
really one-story?
It is one-story Topgolf, yeah. I have two friends that live there. I drive past it all the time. But, you know, I think they'll try to do something with the fans, like in the stadium, like have them wear certain colors or have them give them signs. And then when they hold them up, it spells out 61-58. They'll do something. And they're going to play a video. We played the video of Texas Tech getting trounced 82-27.
But it was more of a part of a montage. It wasn't like the only video that we played.
Well, they did a highlight video of that game, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a little small.
They're going to play a video. I know that. And then, yeah, it's just I'm not ready for that.
Jordy, what do you think? How far do you think they're going to take it?
I mean, if it was us, I'd be hoping that we'd take it pretty far. So,
I believe they're also supposed to honor that team that day.
Yeah, they are.
So.
Good luck to them. I mean, they've struggled against us for a while, so let them do what they want.
Yeah. That's why I want to wear an 8-1 shirt on my just on my chest.
Yes,
it's a bit extra motivation for the guys too. Honestly, it's just like we don't care.
Yeah.
Just go in, take care of business. Whatever they want to do, let them do it.
Well, obviously the TCU team that year went off, won the Peach Bowl, and Baylor went off and
lost to West Virginia, and then got trounced by Michigan State.
Yeah, and they're poor kicker.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I'm sorry.
But it's a rivalry game, so it's expected. You want them to be petty. You know, we're a petty school too. We have our moments.
We can be.
I talked about it last week. We have DFW's Big 12 team on our jerseys and practice jerseys.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that. I don't like the whole regional. Like when Sunday was at Dallas and they had Dallas on there. You know, I'm not a real big fan of that one, but I understand what you're saying.
You're taking shots somehow. But like we talked about, it's a rivalry game. I know you wanted to talk about the.
Well, that brings a nice segue. Thank you. So let's talk about this, quote, rivalry game. So how do y'all feel? We've had the Blue Bonnet Bowl, and then we also have the Revivalry. So,
I like Revivalry better. Unfortunately, the way these teams are playing, I actually think this is the Butt Bowl. Not the Texas Tech, but because we're just not playing. Well,
hey, man.
Last 2 weeks, yes.
9-3.
9-3. Jordy's on the 9-3 train.
The
I'm on
alive.
The make a bowl game train.
Yeah, the dream is alive. 9-3. You know what? I'll be honest with you. My opinion is I don't like either one of those names. And I know that the Blue Bonnet came about because of, I think it was the student councils, right? Both Baylor and TCU student councils, you know, agreed to that. Nobody asked the fans. And it's just such a stupid name. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even like the Revivalry name. Well, yeah, there's no Blue Bonnets at this time of the year.
Is it true that Baylor and TCU used to be on the same campus?
Well,
no,
we used to be in Waco.
We used to be in Waco.
And then a campus fire. I don't know how it started.
Like
it was a campus fire.
I like the Revivalry then. The Revivalry is good for that.
Okay, a little history lesson. I actually, everybody believes that someone from Baylor burned down the old Adrand College in Waco, okay? I actually was doing a documentary on the 100-year history of the band. I know, I'm a nerd, but I actually found, I was granted access in the special collections section of the library and actually found a lot of the documents from that fire. It was actually an electrical fire in the attic.
I can fake documents too, okay?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, obviously the fire inspector was probably a Baylor grad. You know, who knows? But no, they claim it was an electrical fire in the attic.
I would too if I burned down someone's campus. Okay,
there you go.
That sounds like an insurance job.
Yeah, that's they probably got paid out for it. Yeah, we should probably. It's the campus fireball.
Well, we certainly got the best end of that deal because we got to move out of Waco.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the time, Waco was probably, I think it was the biggest city in Texas up until the tornado that went through there in the 50s. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice. TCU got to move to Fort Worth. We have the better end of that deal, and we don't have to deal with the Brazos. So it's all good. But this is going to be an interesting game on Saturday. I don't yet know exactly what to expect, given that it is a night game and given how Baylor usually plays against us. And like you're saying, Nathan, we get everybody's best shot. But let's get into some predictions. So, Jordy, what do you think? What's the final score of the game on Saturday?
I think it's going to be close most of the game. I'm going to go 38-35, Kyle Lemon game winner last quarter, right at the end.
38-35.
Redeems him, totally redeems himself.
Yep. I like it.
And then everybody forgets about the season he's had, and yeah, he rides that confidence in the rest of the season.
Okay, 38-35. I like it. Okay, Nathan, what do you think? What do you have?
Also going close game. When I predict blowouts, it doesn't go well for us. part of me wants to say it's going to be a higher scoring game, but I also just can't get the number 33-31 out of my head, so I'm going to go 33-31, TCU. And just be
another last-second field goal to win the game? Kyle Kingsley.
No, I think we're at 33. They score, try to go for two, don't get it.
Wow, okay, talk about...
Juicy.
Dramatic. Ooh. We're going to...
I don't know. You bring in whiskey for the press box for that one? Because
I would never do, such a thing.
No, I know you wouldn't. Never.
He doesn't drink on the job.
I never drink on the job.
Are you kidding me? No. Remember, this isn't a job. It's a passion. Anyway, so I think, you know, I made this prediction in the board, and if the rain holds off, I honestly think it'll be 42-27 TCU. Okay? I think the defense is
I'm pretty sure that was the West Virginia score when they lost to West Virginia 2014. I know, it was 41-27.
But I think this defense is starting to figure stuff out. And I think they're going to have a chance against Baylor to be able to get to keep moving. And I think they're going to give Baylor some problems. Not that they're going to shut them out or anything like that. I do think that Baylor's going to score about 27 points. But
yeah, their quarterback's playing really well.
Their quarterback has been playing very well. But I think we're going to be keyed on him, and I think we're going to be doing a very good job with their wide receivers. I think our backfield lines up fairly well with a lot of their wide receivers. But for whatever reason, I think, you know, Hoover's going to get things going. And I think this running game, I think we figured something out with Payne and with Savion, and I'd like to see this continue. And I would like to see them, like I said before, mix it up a little bit with the Wild Frog, maybe actually do a pass, keep that defense honest, and just see what we can do. It'd be nice if this TCU offense can have 120, 130, 150 yards on the ground against Baylor, especially if the rain comes. Now, if the rain does come and it does become a bit of a problem, especially for Josh and the passing game, I think the score is probably going to be closer to what y'all are saying. It's probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of like 35-32, something like that. But I really do feel like it's going to be 42-27 TCU at the end of this game.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Nice, comfortable win. Yeah. It'd be nice.
It would be good.
Yeah.
Would be good. On the road, at night, especially in that environment, and be able to come away with a win like that, I think that would be really, really nice. Set you up. You're bowl eligible at that point, right? Going into the last three games of the season, have a chance to actually make something happen, make some noise. So that'll be fun. It's going to be a good one. We are certainly looking forward to it. And we thank everybody. We've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening to us this week. Of course, you can find the TCU, the Killer Frogs podcast and all the major podcast networks. Of course, we're on Spotify and Apple and Google Play and
Amazon,
absolutely. Amazon podcasts as well. Sorry, it's been a couple of weeks since I've done this, Nathan.
Yeah, I completely forgot to put that part in there last week, so you're doing better than me already.
It's okay. Nobody noticed. It's fine. So,
I get the number right on the...
You did get the number right. Sweet. I was happy about that. You were like, I don't know what episode this is.
I freaked out for a
second.
I'm
just going to throw out a number, and you nailed it, so... Good job.
I'm a mathematician.
You should go buy a lotto ticket.
I do have a math minor.
Numbers, man.
It does work well. Of course, you can go to killfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and let us know what you think. you know, go to the forum. We have a prediction thread up there right now. Let us know, what do you think the final score is going to be in this particular game? Do you think TCU is going to run the Wild Frog as many times as they did against Tech? How far do you think the 61-58 bit's going to go on Saturday night? Let us know. And, of course, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time when we get our frogs up and we get to say...
Go Frogs! And happy Halloween.